sent us around this week. And as we go through our message, let me just take a little bit of a sip. We continue with our series, Learning to Live Like Jesus in a Difficult World, or in the World of Difficulty. You know, when you turn the TV on, you don't want to listen to anything anymore. And I thought about downgrading my cable right now because there is nothing good on the TV. So the only thing I'm interested in maybe is sport, because nothing good is happening. You're confused. How can I carry on in this world? You know, when I'm preparing a message and I started to imagine the early church in the days when they went through persecution and how they managed. And you might have thought it would have been said, you know what? I think Jesus is coming again for the second time. Because all that they were experiencing. And even as we go through our message this morning, we try, is how can we allow God to transform us in every circumstance that we find ourselves going through as believers? And there where we come from the book of 1 Peter, the book of Peter, where we, Pastor Gary, greatly started off on the past two Sundays. And so, Pastor Garrett talks about three major things. So, the first thing he talked about, who can tell us, as a believer going through a time of difficulty, what's the first thing who can help us? A heart of worship. And what's the next?
Attitude of hope.
And the last? I can't hear you. A man of holiness. I thought we forgot things. I'm going to close my Bible. I said, Pastor Gary, it's all yours. Come and preach your message over. He stressed on those three things. A heart of worship, an attitude of hope, and a mind for holiness, even as you experience difficult times as believers. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Today we're going to dive into chapter 2, where Peter change a little bit of topic, and he talks about our identity in the time of trials, in a time of trouble, in a situation that we cannot comprehend. Who are we? Do we forget who we are as believers, as children of God, when we face these different trials, when we are faced with circumstances that we can't comprehend? Sometimes we do, right? Oh, nobody want to agree with me. But let's just pray. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we want to thank you this hour, even as we come. We say, you speak your word, Lord. Open our hearts that we will understand from you, Lord, and know that you have the power to transform our hearts through your word. And may your word go forth and accomplish the purpose for which you've been sent. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we continue today, we want to look at learning to live like Jesus in a difficult world, and as a chosen generation, proclaiming his praise in counterculture, submission in the world. I mean, I love to submit. Nobody loves to submit. But that's what Peter is going to tell us. How, who we are, and how we ought to submit in this world with everything that is chaotic. You go into the grocery store, you purchase items, when you get on the line, they say $50 or $100, and you're looking at the item, you say, what is this that costs $100? And you're thinking that the cashier kind of cheat you and charge maybe twice of the item. And you wake up in the morning, you're confused with everything going on around you with different situations in life, sicknesses and all these things. And
You are thrown with all these things in your life. The government, the people, everything is just going crazy. What do you do? So, Peter gave us a couple of things. And we're going to pick up from verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. He lays out our identity, who we are, when it comes to as believers, as we face a difficult situation in our lives that we come across every day, who we are, what we have to do, not forgetting where he has brought us from. So we're going to look at the first thing. I'm going to skip that. That's our YouTube blog when you go online. Say, in the world that constantly pressures us with challenges and problems, how can we live out our identity as believers amid the sufferings and chaos? How? So we're going to look into God's word and see our eternal truth. We're going to look at it as living out as we go through the entire passage of 1 Peter chapter 2 from 4 to 25. What the main theme in there is, we are to live out our identity through submission, through good works, and even through a Christ-like suffering. That's who we're supposed to be, living out our identity. We can't live out our identity when everything is fine. When everything is going wrong, then we transform our identity. And we say, you know what, we're going to put this Christianity a little bit on the other side. No. That identity has to, you know, we was telling our team, we said, some of you guys got three different personality identity. When you are home, you are a different person. When you are at church, you are a different person. When you are at school, you are a totally different person. Right? And that's how we are too. But we have to stick to one identity as children of God, no matter what changes around us, no matter how things are, what suffering we are going through, we ought to stick to one identity of who we are. And why it's important, we're going to look at that. The first thing we're going to look at, our identity is one considered as a living stone and a royal priesthood. Peter spelled out a couple of things there. Number one, we are God's temple. Two, we are a priesthood. We are a people, and we are a possession. That's who we are. Our identity, who we are, who we consider to be in the midst of suffering that should come to our mind and not be overcome by the suffering and put our identity aside and no one can recognize who we are. And now, mind you, Peter was speaking to those Christians who were scattered in different places that was going through trials. He was informing them of who they are. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 8, where Peter says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but what? Chosen by who? We were chosen by God, and we are what? Precious. So the first thing comes to your mind when you find yourself going through trials and everything, hey, even in the midst of my suffering, guess what? I have been chosen by God. My suffering cannot tear me down. My suffering cannot turn my identity different from who I am to be for God. And not only that, he said, you also as a living stone are being built up as up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And what Peter is saying, first he mentioned, we want to talk about the temple. You know, the temple has been the center of worship for the children of Israel. And they come to the temple to offer sacrifice, to honor God. Because there at the temple, they meet God. They go there, what the priest intercede for them, and they offer and see God. So even those are in the diaspora, they all come to the temple in Jerusalem to see God. Now, but Peter is saying, hey, even though that temple has been broken down, turned down, that temple doesn't exist anymore, but guess what? You now are the temple. Your identity as a temple, it tells you that Christ now lives in you. You don't have to go to the temple anymore. You are the temple, and let them see who you are through your action, no matter what you are going through or experiencing. And in other words, he said, the Christians are the living stone in God's temple. What does that mean? It means that God makes his home, that God now dwells in you. It means that your fundamental purpose is to dwell with God. So even as you're going through these trial times, hey, it means that God is with you. Remember that. That's your thing. And that's what Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? Right? He said, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's one of our identity. We are a temple of God. And being the temple of God, nothing can cause us to appear different from who we are. That means you cannot stuff thing anything else in the middle of your identity. Your identity should not change when the situation around you changes. Your identity should not change when someone hates you. Your identity should not change when someone gossips about you. Your identity should not change if someone doesn't care about you. It should remain the same. That's who you are. Because guess what? We are interdependent life of God. We not of our own. So that's why Paul said, what then shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trials, shall persecution, shall nakedness, shall famine? He said, no, in order to see we are what? More than conqueror through whom Christ Jesus our Lord. That's our identity. And he didn't stop there. He said, our identity as priesthood. Look in verse. It says, he said, therefore, it is counted in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Christ, our chief cornerstone. And now we, if we embrace him, we become part of him. And yes, the assurance he gives us in a lot of verses, they say, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the world may throw at you, sometimes you're confused and you don't know where to start your day from. Guess what? Bear in mind who you are, your identity. Number one, that he promised you that he will never. He will never. Because of who you are in him. Amen? Coming down, he said, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Isn't that what they did to Jesus? He came unto his own what? Received him not. But the many who are received, he gave them what?
Power.
To become what?
Children
of God. Don't allow circumstances to make you who you are. Allow God's words to make you who you ought to be. Because God spelled it out in you, in his word. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen people. A people who once lived in darkness. That's who you are. And God reached out. And he said, you are a chosen race, a holy nation to God. Now, Peter, like I said earlier, Peter is speaking to a bunch of Christians who are most likely Gentiles, unbelievers. And he looks, I imagine, through the eyes of faith, he looks at them eyes to eye and say, through Christ, you are a chosen race and a holy nation. Through Christ, I am a holy nation, a chosen race. That's my identity. It's not going to change. I'm going to stick to that. And we're going to see later, why is it important when Peter spoke all these things? In the book of Colossians, Paul kind of gave a little description. Paul said, God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, right? And transfer us to a kingdom, into a kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Listen, church. Israel was the chosen people. Those who were not chosen, they were referred to as the Gentile, non-believers. But thank God, Jesus came and he turned it around. That we are not chosen for by our might or our strength or our power. No, we were chosen for a good pleasure to prove his great redeeming glory. That's why we were chosen. And he says, so that other people around us, even as we experience difficulties, suffering, and chaos, other people that around us will see God in us. They will see and say, oh, even in the midst of the trials that he's going through, he is faithful to God. He is staying on his identity of who he is. And through that, God is glorified. Not you, not any man, but God is glorified. And not only that, we say we are God's possession. How is that? And that kind of ties up. Please help me. Let's go to the next slide. He said we are a priesthood of people and God's possession. So look there in verse 11 that he said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and not only that, his own special people. Now, change that to his own special answer. I don't know about you, but I would say his own. I'm going to make it personal, right? I'm special to God. You are special to God. Do you know what it means? That you were not part of this royal family. You had no identity. You were considered a cast out. Your sin had turned his back. You were completely doomed. But now he said, hey, I extend royalty to you. You're not part of this royal family. You are his own special chosen people. In a sense that it ties in 1 Peter 2 now, we are described as being called out of darkness into this marvelous. Now, this calling is a rescue. It's a rescue because once upon a time, I wasn't who I was now. You weren't who you were right now. You are a different person, going on your own way, doing your own thing, forgetting about your creator, forgetting about the one who brought you forth. And so guess what? He came and rescued me. He rescued me. And because he rescued me, I no longer belong to myself. My identity has not changed. I'm a temple. I'm a priesthood. I'm a chosen person. That's who my identity is. So even in the midst of this chaotic world and everything that we, Peter is reminding us of who we are. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget about your identity. Don't allow circumstances, but stand firm unto who you are as God's child. Amen? You see, as God's child, your identity, you are no longer defined by sin. You are no longer defined by shame. You are no longer defined by the burdens of your past. None of those things define you no more. Instead, our identity is now rooted in being part of God's people, and we are now belonging to God, a chosen one to declare his praise. That's who we are. We live in the light, not because of anything we've done, no, but because God has called us out. He called us out, transforming our lives daily to live through his grace. That's who we are. That's our identity. So, when you wake up and can't find, take your next step and confused, think about who you are. Think about who God has made you to be. Think about how he considers you. Not an outcast, but part of his royal family. Amen? So Peter had just reminded us of who we are. He said, we are a temple, we are a priesthood, a people, and a possession. We are not of our own. Because it took Jesus Christ to pay the price for us. It took his blood on the cross. It took his life on the cross to give us, to change our identity or who we are. And so because of that now, we have to exhort and live in such a way among the unbelievers. There are things that we cannot do and there are things we ought to do as believers. Even though it may seem difficult, but guess what? Based on the scripture, we ought to do it. And you're going to ask me, what is that, Pastor Ansu? Hold on a minute. Yeah. Help me, let's go to the next slide, please. So we talk about identity, right, from verse 4 to 10, a temple. You are living stone in God's new creational temple. A priesthood, you are a priest in God's holy priesthood, a royal priest. A people, you are God's chosen race, a holy nation to God. A possession of people for God's own possession. That's who we are. So those are things I should be considering that. I got a new identity. From there, I got saved, my identity changed. So, Peter tells us, you know, I love Paul so much that every now and then I call his name. But Peter tells us all these things. Now let us see with our identity, what does it come with? What comes our responsibility? What we ought to do? And the first thing we want to look at, our duty as believers. One, we have to live, first of all, an honorable conduct among believers. That's our primary duty. Have an honorable conduct among unbelievers. The first thing, we want to look at our life as a living stone. We know our identity, but now our life as a living stone. And also, knowing our identity, Peter said, we must submit to government. And somebody said, And not only submit to the government, but submit to masters. Somebody said, it wasn't too loud. So let's look into that for a minute and see why our duty. Now, mind you, like I said earlier, Peter is speaking, he's trying to reach out to, not trying, but he's reaching out to people, believers in the early church days that were going through persecution. They were on the verge of being persecuted. There was pressure on how, and they're confused. And now, yeah, Peter is saying, come on, man. Even though you're struggling, you're going through this, you're being persecuted, consider your life as a living stone. What are you talking about, Peter? I'm hiding to proclaim the gospel. I don't have freedom. I can't do X, Y, Z. And you're telling me I'm a living stone? And I should live it among unbelievers? Live it among pagans? And not only that, I should submit to government? I should submit to master? But yes. You know, that's the difficulty about Christianity. And that's why Jesus said, if you want to follow me, say, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Your cross may be heavier than Jesus' cross. Each of us have our own cross. Maybe yours will be lighter than mine. Mine may be lighter, but no matter what, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. So let's go into the first point. Our life as a living stone, he said, our first duty, we now know who we are, right? Oh, we don't know? We have an identity, right? Peter already spelled that out. So now, since we have an identity, we have a duty to carry out with that identity. And the first duty is have an honorable what? Conduct. Look at verse 11 to 17. Say, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which are war against what? The soul. Having your what? Conduct honorable among the Gentiles. That when they speak against you as evildoers, guess what happens? They may what? By your good works, which they observe what? Glorify God. In the day of visitation. It's tough. But that's what God requires. Or that's why Peter, verse 11, refers to us as sojourner. Now, like I said, these believers Peter wrote to them, they were in exile, going through persecution. But let's bring it to our day, right? We are sojourners, right? We are pilgrims, right? You agree with me? Last time I checked, this world we live in is not our home. We just passing through. We joining on. We just going. Because anytime God can call us in, we're going to a home that is better than this place we are. So Peter is saying that while you are going through this, you are joining them, going through in the midst of trials and circumstances. He said, I beg you, abstain from fleshly lust. Because why? They war against the body. They war against holiness. The flesh wants to please itself. Runs after the things of the world. Runs after the fancy things. And wants to suppress the spirit. Now, don't get it wrong. Don't get me wrong to say, Pastor, I was going to say we shouldn't run after riches or get. No. If I have the privilege to be rich, I'm going to be rich. But what he's saying is that knowing who you are, your identity, who you are, your identity should show that you're not lost after these things of the world. When you're going through trials, stand up. And even if God doesn't respond, let your testimony be a praise unto him. Because you are not going to allow anything to destroy
your identity of who you are. Because identity, he said, what in there? He said, by your good works, which they observe. Who are they? The unbelievers. He said, which they observe, they're going to what? Glorify God. The bottom line here is that whatever we do, how we live, you're not living for yourself. You're not serving yourself. You're not doing it for your own glory. You are doing it for the glory of God. And it's God who is going to be praised, not you. And that's why he says, so he said, live godly lives in a pagan society. Do good. And guess what? Because of your life, you can silence foolishness. That's why he says in there. And we're going to see later. Because of who you are, you stand for the truth. You stand to honor God because of your identity. It doesn't change you. Amen. Like we said earlier, our citizenship is not of this world, right? I travel from Liberia and came and become a U.S. citizen naturalized, right? But my birth origin is Liberia, right? And even you live in America, born here, your birth origin is America, right? But guess what? Our real birth origin is in heaven. Amen. There where our real citizenship is. And when we leave this world, we have a home. Paul said it's not built with what? Tin. It's not made of tin. I don't know, but I dream about a home that where maybe we... Technology here is advanced, but maybe our vision in heaven technology is way advanced, because guess what? Imagine I'm not going to be hungry. Imagine I'm not going to worry about sickness. And everything is to my disposal. So that means it's better there than here. So I'd rather strive to keep my citizenship intact so I cannot be deported from there. Because if God deports you from heaven, woo, you're doomed. You're going to find yourself in hell. But thank God, my citizenship, hey, is in heaven. Okay. As Peter spelled out, our duty... The first thing, have an honorable conduct. Help me, let's go to the next slide. And our second duty, he said, submit to government. Some of you are shaking your seat right there, right now. Submit to government. Look what he says there in verse 13. He said, therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of what? Made for what? Oh, no. Oh, so no, only 2% or 3% hearing that. For what? I love that. God, what are you talking about here, Peter? This person is not up to the standard of God's standard. And you telling me I should submit? Yes. That's why he said. He said, whether to what? King as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who are do good. Verse 15 said, for this is the will. Only a few persons hear that one. For this is the word of God, that by what? Doing good, you may what? Put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Submit. That's your duty. That's our duty. That's how we now have an identity connected to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. And he puts government into place. He established his government, and he said, well, submit. Now, here's the thing. The clarity of Peter's call for obedience is not just against it, right? It cannot be avoided. How difficult is this? Peter said, be subject for, that's the key there. He said, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Now, Paul also said, said the same thing to Titus in the book of Titus. He wrote to Titus, he said, Titus, increase, he said, this I want you to do. He said, tell your congregation to submit to the government. So it's not only in Peter, but it was also in Titus, in the book of Titus, Paul acknowledging, Paul reminding him to do that. And it's important, because as we read the text before us, we recognize that God has set these things in place. They serve God in order that the vice might be punished and that the virtue might be praised. This is where we practice our faith. Right? We believe in a God who rules. We believe that we are subject to God ourselves. But yeah, look at the argument that God presents to us as we read verse 15 in there. In verse 15, he said, for this, that's the argument God is giving, he said, for this is the will of God. Now, what can we submit to, and why can't we not submit to the government? If the government asks us, say, you cannot worship God, you cannot read your Bible, no! I'm not going to submit to that. Right? Yeah. Don't worry, only I alone is seeing here. But this is, we see that in the book of Daniel. Daniel knew who he was, his identity, right? Even in a foreign land, when they told him and his friends, they cannot pray, they cannot worship God, Daniel said, no. Guess what? In fact, he opened his window and he started praying 3 times a day. He wasn't afraid of men, because his duty was to God. He obeyed, because he was in captivity. He obeyed the rules and what have you. But when it came to serving God, even as slaves in another land, Daniel did not disobey God. The 3 Hebrew boys, when they raised the statue, they said, they should bow. Everyone should bow to this statue. They refused, because they knew their identity, they knew who they were. And they said they would not bow down, because it was written, God said, to not worship any other image beside me. And they held on to that because they knew who they were. And they refused to worship idols. Guess what? Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Did he got eaten by the lion? No! God delivered him, because he stood for God. He stood for the truth. And he said, sin is sin. No matter whether you love this government or you hate the government, but as believers, whatever is wrong, if it is sinful, then where we stand and say, this is sinful. Daniel refused. The 3 Hebrew boys refused. But God delivered them, because they stood for their identity and they knew who they were. And that's something we as believers, right? It's a difficult situation we find ourselves going through, because we are told that we are going to put to silence the ignorance of foolish people in doing good. How?
And we read it in verse 15, it said, submitting to this human institution, empires, or governor, and doing good, is that's the subject line for our own deliverance. Where we now stand among the unbeliever, and God is glorified through our actions. Peter continued in verse 16, he said that we have freedom, but this freedom are not to be used to cover for evil. No matter what, we must live as servants of God. Look there in verse 16. Our third duty is to live for God. Even when the government is not good, even though we don't love the government, the rules, and what have you, but we are to live for God. He said, as free, yet not using liberty as a clock for vice, but as bound servant of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. And then what? Fear God. Honor the king. It's silent in here. Honor the king. That's what God says. And that's what we ought to do, no matter. God placed rulers into place to have laws to govern mankind, right? That if you don't pay your taxes, what's going to happen to you? Okay. If you break the law, what's going to happen to you? So as believers, you ought to obey those laws. You're subject to those laws. But when it comes to laws or things that will go against the will of God, there where your true identity comes about. No, you don't have to. You shouldn't. Because I'd rather obey God and disobey man than to disobey God and obey man. You know, we're going to stop here because we got so much in that we cannot complete today. God, we have to talk about masters. We have to talk about example of Jesus in suffering. How can we go about? So we're going to continue next Sunday. So as we go this week, first of all, I want you to remember your identity, who you are. You're not just this person walking without an identity. No. And because you now have that identity as a royal priesthood, as a temple, as a holy people, or people that of God, your identity has changed. And even in the midst of this suffering world, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of difficult times and everything that we find ourselves going through, Peter is saying that let your identity show who you are. Don't allow the situation around you to change who you are. But because of who you are, show it that even the unbelievers will see God in you and God's name be glorified. That's the bottom line. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We give you the praise, O God. Even help us, O Lord, to understand who you are through your word. Father, we thank you for calling us your own and showing us that we are your children. And if you are here this afternoon, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know your identity, who you are. But the opportunity is yours to turn to him. You can see any of us, Pastor Gary, I, or any of the deacons, and we can pray along with you. We want to thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. We'll call the praise team to just
You can stand with us as we sing the song, I Give Myself Away. Thank you.
we leave this week, remember who you are. Even in the midst of chaos, suffering, and everything we find ourselves going through, God has given us a new identity. And our identity cannot change even in the midst of what we experience. Our identity helps us and those around us who don't know God. It may be at your job, in your neighborhood, or wherever you find yourself. Let God be praised. Let's get up close to him.
We're going to close with a word of prayer. Before we do, I want to say this. I know these things make us feel kind of conflicted, don't they? And that's a good thing that in our heart, we are wrestling with who we are versus what we do. And hopefully in the coming weeks, we're going to kind of flesh this out just a little bit more so that we really live for who we are. You know, you may not have voted for the candidate that's in office now, but if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we voted to take Jesus for life and for all of eternity. And we're going to live for him, not for someone else, right? It's kind of conflicted in it. Let's wrestle with that over the days ahead. And hopefully, Lord, help us to really flesh that out in a way that's going to really change us from the inside on out. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Lord, it challenges us, right, Lord, to the core of our being. Thank you for Pastor Ansu, Lord, and just being able to share it clearly. Even though, Lord, we're kind of like, what? But, Lord God, just work in us, I pray, in this week, Lord, that we would live, Lord, in this world like a chosen generation, like a royal priesthood. Help us, Lord, as we go out into our Jerusalem this week, Lord, to live that out. And no matter where you take us, Lord, may they see us as little Christ. And Lord, we ask this now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.